Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time together, and we worship you and adore you and invite you and open up our hearts to you and receive. And just like the mother's got to go back there and receive that glass where it stays in its place. So, Father, we want to right now receive your word and receive all that you have for us. And we take it. And you offered it to us, and we take it with joy. But we also take it with a little bit of aggressiveness. It's ours to take, and we take it. So we take this moment together, love you and appreciate you, and we pray blessings on the mothers today. Amen. So start off with, by the way, May 13th. Anybody remember that day? May 13th, 2023. 3 years ago. And... yeah, huh?
Fire.
Yeah, Holy Ghost fire. So I was just thinking about that because I think it's on Wednesday. And just thinking about what the Lord said to us, you know, that night the fire was burning. He just said, you take care, I'll take care of the building, you take care of people. And boy, that's what we've got to do. That's what have been a privilege. Man, all the relationships that have come out of that whole episode thing and the one more to continue. It's pretty interesting. My insurance agent sent me an email, and he said that when he was here the last time, we got through with the insurance stuff in about 5 minutes, and that's when he told me, he said, if you would have had a hailstorm, we would have dropped you. But since your church burned down, we're going to keep you. And I had to be looking at him kind of strange. He said, don't ask me. I don't make the rules. He said, I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, then we had about a two-hour conversation in the Lord. He just said, can I sit and talk to you? And we just shared the Lord, and he asked me questions about different things going on in his life. And as he walked out, he said, I've only known you a few minutes here, but boy, if I lived anywhere close, I'd come here. And anyway, we've been friends. Now he emailed me and just said, I'm no longer your agent. You got a new one coming in. But, you know, and I just thought, take care of the people. Just been relationship after relationship. And then the Lord also said, you know, or we said too, you know, we agreed with him, that we're not just, you know, building it for the sake of children yet to come. And about halfway through the project, the Lord said, it's not just for the children yet to come, it's also for you guys until you don't need it. So we've been really enjoying it, and just give God the glory, you know, and it's just kind of one of those testimonies of saying, you know, things will hit you, fire will hit you, winds, struggles. But, you know, as Jody and Elise were just saying, but life continues on, and step back and see the bigger picture. So as Jody was sharing, I just had the thought that I hadn't really had a thought about before, because I too am plagued. I talk and think way too much about how fast time is going. And I don't mind doing it, but I just don't want to make that the story of my life. And... one of the things we do is we confess Psalms 91 a lot in our family, and we confess it. I confess it over you every day. And part of that scripture goes that, boy, when I don't start at the beginning, sometimes it's hard to pick it up. But he'll deliver you from the snares of the trapper. Well, snares were more, you know, we think of a snare like we used to trap with where a critter walks through and it comes around his neck and chokes him down. But I was studying that the other day, and actually the snares that it refers to is more of booby traps. And I set up a really good booby trap last week, and I didn't know that I really did it. And unfortunately, I was the guy that set it off. So... I'm here at the church, and I grabbed some half-inch PVC pipe, and I put it in the back of my pickup, and it's 10 foot long, and my pickup's not that long. So I just bent it real, you know, it was pretty hard. I just bent it in and then lifted the tailgate up, and so it was inside there. And then I forgot about it, and I didn't unload it that night, and I went to Walmart the next day, and I got a bunch of salt, and I was trying to hold on to the cart, and so I just flicked a little button on my tailgate, you know, and the tailgate comes down by itself, and that PVC came out of there. It's a heck of a booby trap, man. It shot three pieces just straight out into the parking lot, but on the way by, it caught me right on the chin, It went right down my throat. And, you know, the thought process. And I go, what the heck was that? And I see this pipe, and then I saw it, I feel my chin, and I had a slight little mark there. But it just kind of really hit me. Wow, that could have just literally slit my jugular vein, and I could be bleeding out here in the parking lot. And I've always thought about that. I had a young friend when I was in ninth grade. He died on his motorcycle. He was coming in from 34, and he let his friend drive a tractor, and he drove the motorcycle, and he's weaving in and out, you know, having fun, and caught the back tire of the motorcycle on the tractor and went in the ditch. And he had a helmet on. Remember my message on safety first? That we don't really do that. But anyway, that helmet actually cut his jugular vein. And nobody was there to stop it. So I'm having all these thoughts in the parking lot of thinking, man, would I be able to grab my own jugular vein? You know, and it's all this is within seconds. And I realize, and I go, well, he delivered me from my own snare, not just the devil's. But I was thinking, you know, I laughed about it, yet at the same time I thought, you know, here's the reality. There are things like that that take people out. And as Joe was sharing, I was just thinking, you know, I do. We miss people that are gone. A lot of you have lost your spouse, lost kids, lost parents, whatever else. But here, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it out, but a thought that I'm having is, holy cow, within a few days of my life here, and I don't mean days, I got at least 30, 40 years, so. but the next 30, 40 years, I'll be leaving here. Man, you know how many people we're going to get to, I'm going to get to, and you're going to get to see again? I mean, with all those that we miss down here, just miss them, but we're gonna get to see them all, and then I'll miss you if you're still around. Anyway, I just thought, man, what a beautiful thought. Instead of saying the days are going by so fast, as the days are just getting quicker and quicker to where we're gonna be all together forever and ever. And as Lisa was sharing, like her mom, think about people being who they're really meant to be, righteous with all their giftings. And free, and it's almost like, I'm not trying to get out of here early. I really am not. I'm not going to leave early. You're going to have to put up with me for a long time. At the same time, man, it's just seconds away of eternal bliss forever. And then I was just sitting here, I go, I have a child up there. We had a miscarriage. Man, is that going to be mind-blowing to sit down and meet with him? And I have a grandchild named John Paul up there. Olivia and Gavin and Brody's older brother, who is named by my friend Dave DeWell in a prophecy. And he's up there. And if you haven't heard that story, it's an awesome one, but Brody actually got to see him one day when he was about 6 years old. He was out in the yard, and Brody got to see him. Isn't that incredible? So when you get thinking about all the time going by fast, just man, just say, yeah, but boy, we're just so much closer to so many great things. And they got people all over the world that I'm really excited to meet. I got a guy way up in the mountains of La'ol that a witch doctor that got saved, and I'm helped him cross over the line, and I'm just thrilled that we'll get together and we won't have to have an interpreter. Life is good, amen. So May 13th, we celebrate. Father, we thank you for the process. We thank you for this building. We thank you that it helps us to continue on, do what you told us to do, take care of people, and for the children yet to come, and for the children that are here now. Praise the Lord. We thank you. We talked last week about unity and the power of unity. And when you talk about the power of unity and the awesomeness of it, you got to also talk about then the negative is just as powerful. Discord is terrible. Man, where there's strife, how many of you have been in a business where there's strife? How fun of a day is it? You know, and how many great things come out of that strife? It's just every evil work the Bible says comes out of strife. So on, you know, so you got that side, then it magnifies this side of what unity can do. And what unity can do is just absolutely amazing. We talked about then, and I can't remember how much I talked about this, but when I was preparing that message, I got to watch Jim Richards share a little bit, and he was just sharing about the fear of God, which I think is so powerful but so misunderstood. And one of the things he said was that the old Hebrew scholars, as you read, said the fear of God for most of the Hebrews, their explanation was more down the line of the fear or the fear of being out of harmony with God. Okay. And part of the fear of God really is the one of the overused words maybe today, but I like it still. It's the awe of God, the reverence, the incredible awe. Man. And I'm just thinking, you know, there's people in this room right now that shake hands with people that are billionaires. What if a billionaire just said, hey, I'm going to do something kind of funky today, crazy. I got whoever comes to church on the next Sunday, we're just, you know, he said, I'll write them a $1 million check. So next Sunday we come and we got million, for everybody that's here, you all get a $1 million check. One stipulation, they're going to pay all the taxes on it, they're going to pay all the fees on it, but you just have to spend it within 6 months. And then you can have it if you want it. Or you can decline it. How many of you would walk out of here a little bit in awe? Huh? Come on now. How many go, whoo? Especially if they put a stipulation, you got to spend this within 6 months. It's like, ooh, boy. That just makes it justify that you go do something quick and crazy, right? Or whatever. I think we'd have a little bit of awe. I think we'd have a few giggles. I think we'd have something go. I don't think we'd just walk out of here calmly. I really don't think so. I could be wrong. Some of you are just so cool. So trying to get a picture of being in awe. Afraid to fall out of harmony with God. Afraid to fall out of unity with Him. And you think about this from the very beginning. Adam was in harmony with God. He walked with God in the cool of the day. And then they worked in harmony. What's really sweet about that to me is God put him there in the garden and he says, now you take control of this. And in the Hebrew, it's really saying, you take and dominate this wild horse that's out of control. Everybody talks about the garden being so perfect, but God actually said, take dominion, which means take something that's out of control and bring it into control. So it wasn't just like everything was, I don't know how to explain that, but it wasn't like at all perfect. But it was, but it also needed to have leadership. And from the beginning, he gave us the dominion. Gave us the dominion. And yet he walked with us in harmony. And to illustrate that even farther was Adam named all the animals, not God. Relate that to our life. One of the things I hear so often is, well, you know, things are crazy, but God is in control. And I'm glad somebody laughed. I'm trying really hard not to think I got to fix everybody. I'm doing so much better, thank you, Jesus. But it's like, what do you mean God is in control? What is that, just a little tag on the end of something to try to get yourself not to worry about things? Is he in control? If he is, we got a right to complain. But on the other side, he is in control of everything that's in his kingdom. Where are you? Where am I? In his kingdom. He's in control of our lives. We're in harmony with him. That part we really do need to bite down on and say, yes, he's in control of the kingdom, and he's a king, and I'm in his kingdom. Hallelujah. And he, you know, so he's and I'm in harmony with him. And as we talked about last week, I speak the same thing he speaks. We're going to 1 John 1:9. If we confess, if we say the same thing he says, we'll walk with him. And as we talked about Lola, you know, being on her team, and I was thinking about that. You joined a new team, I think, at 25. Isn't there a little bit of fear when you go perform that you might screw up? Yeah. And who wants to be the one? Nobody. Especially me. Nobody wants to be the one that messes up the team. And that's that fear of God, is I don't want to be the one that gets out of harmony with God. But it's not a fear of trembling like something bad's going to happen. It's just this awe of I want to be in harmony with him. I want to hear that symphony sound. So when we're not in harmony with him, our vision gets dim, the dark spots are coming, discord starts, disconnect happens, and intimacy drops. Now, let me talk about, this is the closest we're going to get to Mother's Day, okay? Conception. What's awesome about mothers? You know, like my friend said, it's an insult to women all over the world when you say, well, a man could get pregnant. How disrespectful. Number one, and this is what I thought he said, what's really kind of funny, he says, number one, if men could get pregnant, if they could have a conception inside them, they would never volunteer for it anyway. They'd never have it happen. I mean, we're cowards. You know, thank God for courageous mothers that allow conception. And when that conception happens, think about that. One small little seed. One small little egg, and talk about being in awe. All of a sudden, the life has started. And pretty soon, everything that is in there starts just getting nutrients, starts growing, developing. Everything is in that seed. Everything is in and conceived in there. It just needs nutrients. Needs the air, needs all that, and it grows and it becomes a human being that touches thousands upon people and with creative ideas. And I mean, it's just massive when you think about what a human being can do and who they are, and then the eternal part of it, and it all happens because of this incredible thing called conception. And Jesus said, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, this is how you got to understand it. It's the conception of the word, the seed in a human heart. And if you can receive that seed and have a conception happen, then there's a brand new birth from above, and this thing is going to be eternal, forever and ever. Unlimited of its capacity and its abilities and powers and love and feelings and massive. I mean, you know, if we could get a little bit of awe walking out of here with a $1 million check, oh my gosh, why are we not in awe? And I am, and you are too. Every time we hold a little baby, every time I hold a little Jackson or anybody, I go, this is just amazing. And yet think about it in the spiritual realm. When you got born again, how incredible is that? And how amazing are you? Awesome. You're awesome. I'm awesome. Let's say the same thing God says. Let's get in harmony with him. He's blown away by us. He absolutely adores us. He is thrilled about our life. He is jumping up and down. Hallelujah. What a picture compared to what most people see, that God is just, oh, here's another kid. I mean, there are some grandparents and parents that are like this. Oh, dear God, another child. Huh? But not our God. Hebrews says this, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws, and that's talking about, I will put all, that I created, all that I've established, all the principles, all the powers of law. I like to think about it, you know, just the laws of creation, law of lift, the law of thrust, the law of gravity. He said, but I'm going to put everything that I am and that I've created and all the principles that it works on, I will put my laws upon their heart and in their mind, I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. We get to speak the same thing. We get to be in harmony. He does not remember our sins and our lawless deeds, but not only that, but he also has placed everything pertaining himself and life and godliness inside of us, just like within that seed is the whole plan for a person's life. Don't you find it a little freaky when you turn 40 and all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you see your dad or your mom? And then you do this little thing, just like your grandpa did. And you didn't do it for 60 years, and all of a sudden it's there. And you go, oh, where'd dad come from? That little seed, that little plan program inside of you. And now we have God inside of us that just keeps bringing us into his nature, thinking, ways, attributes, powers. It's an awesome thing. Wouldn't want to miss it, would you? No. So 1 Timothy 2:8 says this, therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath or dissension. Now I sit in the front, and I don't know why, but in my early beginnings of life, I don't know why. I don't have any comprehension for sure. I do remember getting, I don't know if I got thumped in the head. Did we ever get thumped in the head? I don't think I got thumped in the head. But there's something about it that when I sit down on a chair in the pew in the church, I can still be there in the little Quaker church. You didn't turn around and look. I can't do it to this day. So when I come in, we start worship, I go, well, we got a few people here today. And when I get up to preach, where'd you all come from? So I don't know how many of you raise your hands. But Paul says, now on all men, women, it's up to you. You can get pregnant and have a child, but I don't know if you have to raise your hands. I just said that for fun, but I don't know why, but some of you are just plumb chicken. Like, what will people think if I raise my hand? What do you think you're going to think? Do you ever wave to somebody? Hey, God. Anyway, I hope I humiliate you enough to do it. But Paul says, I want you to lift your hands up. And he said, but without wrath, and that's just the word orge, it means just extreme anger. So, okay, so solve things in your life of unforgiveness and all that before you do worship the Lord. Then it goes, and without dissension. Do you know what a dissension is? It's the thinking in a man that is doubting and questioning the truth. Hesitating. Disputing. Arguing. Inward reasoning. So here we got the seed that came into us, made us born from above. And in that covenant that God made with Jesus, we're in that now. And so now everything of God has been written and placed inside our hearts and our minds. And we get the beautiful opportunity to discover it, to go on a treasure hunt day by day, to seek it. Seek the kingdom, and the kingdom's in us every day. And to seek the way we should be, righteousness, and it's inside of us, not outside of us. We get to discover that. But here we get to acknowledge right away, we already got it. We're not trying to attain a better Christian life. We are believers who have everything written inside our hearts. And by the way, we do need help to find it. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, to show us who we are. And then we say the same thing he says. Ephesians 4:1 says this, "Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Did anybody ever read that and feel a little bit like, ooh, a little guilty? Like, ooh, I'm not sure I'm walking in a manner worthy. Has anybody had a parent or grandparent say, I know not all of you had this, but some of you did, "Don't dishonor our name"? Now, we never had that said to us, but we sure felt it. Don't screw this up. One of my fun things to do is when we're volleyball, we're breaking in new young people, and they're coming in, and they get up to serve, and it's just us playing on Friday night. Come on, man. There's no ESPN there. There's nobody recording anything. But we'll get a young girl up there, and we'll just say, "Oh, it's a lot of pressure. My brother's really good at this. A lot of pressure for a young girl. Don't mess this up." And it is so funny how it gets into their head, and they just bomb. You know, especially if we're losing, then we really work it. And we, you know, and it works for us to win, but it, more importantly, what we say, the more honorable thing is, we're trying to train you not to let somebody get in your head. You are who you are from him, and nobody else's opinion really counts, right? So we get in agreement, we get in unity with him. And on this scripture, I look at it and I go, "Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the Williamson name, of the church name, of the name of Christianity." I mean, man, people have said some really nasty stuff, so-called based on this scripture. But what does Paul say? He says, I'm imploring you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What's the calling? It's his invitation for you to have his gift of righteousness and the Spirit of God. It's not about your performance. It's not about the people's opinion of you. It's not how good you pray. It's not anything about your behavior. Not. He said, walk in a manner worthy of the calling, of the invitation of God to say, come, walk with me and be me and be one with me. And let me come into you, and you come into me, and let's just walk together like one complete little being. We can walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Boy, but if you switch it around and think that you got to be the one that looks good and you got to be the one that does right all the time, man, you're not in harmony with God. You're opposed to him. You've fallen from grace. Anytime you and I try to perform, to do the right thing by with our ability and feel bad, we're falling from grace. Grace is that thing that God gave to us freely because we just simply believed. And it never changes from that. It's always a free gift that he gave us because he invited. And that's really cool. Have you ever invited yourself to a party? Hey, can I come? Man, I'm just so grateful. He invited us. It's almost like if somebody walked up, "John, who do you think you are?" I said, "I don't know, but the guy that owns everything, he invited me. Who are you?" I was invited by the owner. I was invited by the creator. He loved me first. He asked me to come. Hallelujah. And so your little opinion of me doesn't really make much difference. I'm kind of encouraging you to be a little sassy in life. But say the same thing God says. Think the same way he thinks. Ephesians 1 says, Be walk in a manner worthy of your calling, not your success, not your failure, not your public opinion, not your own opinion, and not the approval of man. Walk in a manner worthy of someone who was invited by the King of Kings to be a ruler with him. Man, that's a whole different thinking. Amen? So now, we talked about the fear of God. Let's read Psalms 112 together. Or I'll read it and you listen. It says, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Now, instead of thinking about the old way that we used to think about what we've just talked about. One who is in awe of God and one who is just so desiring to walk in harmony. How blessed is the man who walks in the harmony of the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth, and generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has freely given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed, and he will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish, but the man who fears the Lord will flourish. When you and I walk in harmony with God, say what he says, not our opinion. Just simply trust him that what he said, we're righteous, we're the way we should be. Hallelujah. Everything just functions, just like a symphony. It's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's powerful. Everything is positive. Everything gets better and better. Hallelujah. So the unity that we really want, let me put it this way, is with him, but that also means you're in unity with yourself. You now walk in your new man. You walk with that spirit that joyfully concurs with him. And these other things stop coming out of your mouth of, well, I'm always just kind of prone to walk the wrong way. I'm only human. Well, you know, we all fail. No, we don't. Not all of us. Some of us are perfect. Some of us are right all the time. Some of us just couldn't get any better. What are you going to speak? What am I going to speak? Are we going to be in unity with the truth? Or are we going to raise up a hand of dissension and say, well, I'm not always right. And if you think I'm trying to get you to be able to do stupid things and justify it, you missed the whole point. Whole point is, I am focused on one thing, man. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the calling of that great guy that did everything for me and handed it all to me. And I'm just going to just believe that what he says is the truth. So, I like me. It may sound arrogant, but John Williamson loves John Paul Williamson. How dare I curse what the Father has given me, which is life? How dare I put myself down and speak something contrary to what he says? I have made you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things are new. And they're all from me. I think I want to say what he says. And then when you're not arguing with yourself, you're not raising this hand. Man, I don't know. Hopefully when you guys raise your hands now in church, you'll think about that. I don't have anger. I've forgiven everybody. And also, I'm not doubting and hesitating and rumbling things through my mind and my heart, wondering, I'm in unity with my Creator. And life is fun. Amen? Life is fun. So if I by chance don't get delivered from my own booby trap next time, and I depart from here, you know what's cool about that? My descendants, for generations will come, will say, you need to know about your Papa John. He walked with God. That's our inheritance. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. The concepts and persuasions and perceptions of life control the boundaries of your life, control how far you go, how wonderful you're going to be. Praise the Lord. And the things that you're learning in your head, mind, brain, body, the muscle memory that you're learning, and the things that you're now seeing and feeling and experiencing about the unity in your heart of being on a team and excelling. It's like Jesus said, he said, you can be faithful with natural things, with money, natural wealth. And you're being successful right now in the natural realm of your using your skills and your abilities to be on a team and win championships. But then he also said, how much more important is it that you become faithful in that which is yours? And he says, all this other stuff in the natural realm, it's not really yours. It's temporary. It's going to come and it's going to go. Your body will go back to dust. But that which is spiritual inside you is not temporal. It's eternal. And that which you have to deal with now on this natural realm is something that is not really yours. It's just kind of you're just steward of it for a while. But that which is spiritual, that which is eternal, that which is forever, belongs to you. That's yours forever. So take what you're learning more than ever and apply it to that incredible intimacy that you have with the Spirit of Christ inside of you. That's a good word for everybody. Amen. Father, we stop fearing the natural things of this earth. And we just reverence you and fear you in the right way. And we're awestruck by this incredible gift of power, of life, of light, and intimacy with you. And today, Father, we're going to walk out of here in awe. Way more than if we were written a check for $1 million. Because what you've given us is not temporal. It's forever. And it cannot be taken away from us because it's ours. Freely given. And we're going to walk in a manner worthy of this. And stop arguing and having discord within ourselves. By your grace, we're going to walk in unity with you and with ourselves. To your honor and to your glory, King, we worship you. Amen. So be it. So be it.